You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on this Feel Good Friday. I am crewed up. That is Sam Acho. That is Ryan Clark. That is Stephen A. Smith. Big Kendrick Perkins will be here in a bit, and I'm Molly Karam. Gentlemen, championship weekend. Let's get it. Yeah.
Is there a particular reason you got on all that red today? It's snowing outside. It's cold.
The sweater.
You trying to brighten up everybody's day?
I wanted to do Sweater Friday like Marcy.
I'm just asking. I mean, that's something that Ryan Clark would usually do. Ryan Clark would usually show up. You know what bright red Christmas colors are on in late January. That's not something that Molly would do.
Bro, why are you so fired up this morning?
I'm just saying. What is wrong? It's good to see y'all. Can I not love y'all? It's good to see y'all.
He's just mad because we have range. All right? Listen, it's wintertime. It's looking for the season. Like, what do you want from me? I can pull off every look, okay? Sorry.
I got to say this. She got me there. She's kind of right about that.
Okay.
Right about that.
All right, let's go, guys. We got a lot of NFL to get into. The Rams went all in. You know this. Trading for Matthew Stafford last January and adding former All-Pros Von Miller and Odell Beckham during the season. And it's paid dividends because they're exactly where they want to be in the NFC Championship, conveniently at home, the site of the Super Bowl as well. Brand new SoFi Stadium. But don't think Kyle Shanahan and the Niners will make it easy. San Francisco has already beat LA twice this season. Here's Aaron Donald on trying to make the third time the charm, putting in that work.
This is what you work for. You know, this is what I've been working for. This is what we've been working for. They're trying to find a way to get to the Super Bowl, and we one game away, you know, against a divisional opponent. A team that, you know, had our number the past couple times we played them. So I feel like ain't no better stage than this. You know, this is the type of games you train for during the offseason. All that extra grind, all that extra film is the playing big games like this. But, you know, I feel like no better stage than what we got right now.
I wouldn't want to see that guy flying at me. Aaron Donald is that dude. RC, talk to me. Is it Super Bowl or bust for the LA Rams?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything less is unacceptable. Anything less for the Los Angeles Rams this year is a failure. This is a team that went all the way in. You get Matthew Stafford for one reason. You said that what Jared Goff was capable of doing was not enough. Well, all Jared Goff did as a Pro Bowl quarterback a few years back is get you to a Super Bowl. You felt like he wasn't enough to get you over the hump. So you give up Jared Goff. You give up first round picks to get Matthew Stafford. So he was brought there to bring a ring and nothing else. And then you think about the Von Millers. You think about going out and getting Odell Beckham Jr. You have done everything you possibly could to make this rendition, this team, the best team the Los Angeles Rams have had, the most star power that has ever been on the field in Los Angeles, and you have to go win it now. If you lose to San Francisco, if you lose in the Super Bowl, it is all a failure for Sean McVay, for Matthew Stafford, for Les Snead, for the Aaron Donalds of the world, and now the pressure is put on you because you're playing a division opponent.
Looks like RC
game at home in order to host the Super Bowl at home.
Acho?
Hey, RC. I got this for you, RC. You said that you get Matthew Stafford for one reason. I would disagree. I would say you get Matthew Stafford for two reasons. For now, to win now, but also for the future. Matthew Stafford is 33 years old. Let me say that again because I had to look it up. I didn't believe it until I saw it. He's 33 years old. Tom Brady is way past 33. Matthew Stafford, in a lot of ways, is in his prime. And so it is not Super Bowl or bust this year by any means. You have the team in place. You have the roster in place. You have the quarterback in place, not just for now, but also for the future. If Matthew Stafford was on his last leg, if he didn't have any more arm left in him, if he didn't have talent around him now, but also young talent around him that can grow around him, guys like Cooper Kupp, guys like Robert Woods, who will be coming back from injury for the future, then you could say it's Super Bowl or bust, but it is not. Matthew Stafford has exceeded expectations. There were a lot of people early in the season that said the Rams will be in the Super Bowl. Then there was that losing streak we saw in the middle of the season. People started doubting. We started talking about the Dallas Cowboys, started talking about the Arizona Cardinals, started talking about all these teams, and we went to sleep. We woke up, and now the Rams are knocking on the door of the Super Bowl. They have already done, and Matthew Stafford has done what he has set out to do. He said, I want to come and play in primetime games and show my talents to the world. Not in Detroit, to the world. What has he done? He's come and he's played in primetime games and shown his talent to the world. He wanted to go and win a division that he didn't do in Detroit. Now he came to LA and he won a division. He wanted to go and win playoff games. He came and won playoff games. And last but not least, RC, you said it best. We were talking on Get Up not too long ago. You said you feel like it's the LA Rams year. With that throw that was made against Tampa Bay to Cooper Kupp right before overtime, it's hard not to say that this is not their year. And so for me, I think they will win. Let me just put that out there. But it is not Super Bowl or bust for the LA Rams.
No, Sam, why don't you stop it? I mean, sometimes I wonder about you, my brother. Sometimes I wonder about you. You cannot. Listen, man. You cannot have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady out of the way, and you can't get to the Super Bowl because Jimmy Garoppolo was standing in front of you. Let me repeat myself. You cannot have Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady out of the way, all right? You already took out Kyler Murray and Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers is out of the way, and you can't get to the Super Bowl because porn star Jimmy is behind center. It just can't happen.
I knew it was coming.
Okay, it's just that simple. And you need to don't put your finger up. I listen to you and your gibberish right there. You know better, Sam Acho, because you know football. You need to stop that nonsense. I know Deebo Samuels can ball. I love him. I know George Kittle can ball. Second best tight end, maybe third best tight end in football, as far as I'm concerned. I know all of that. This defense is real. Kyle Shanahan and his play calling and the way he really patrols Jimmy Garoppolo. All of that stuff has been sensational. There's no doubt about it. Because I think if Kyle Shanahan was coaching a few teams, they might be the ones in the AFC or in a conference championship game en route to the Super Bowl because that's how good I think he has been. But in the end, if you're Matthew Stafford, and you got Cam Akers back, and you got Odell Beckham Jr., and you got Cooper Kupp looking like, I don't know what the hell he looking like, but my God is lethal, okay? And then you look at their defense with Aaron Donald, with Jalen Ramsey in the secondary, with all the cats in between, with Sean McVay as your head coach and calling plays. You cannot turn around if you're Matthew Stafford. If this was Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady, even that you was going up in a conference championship game, that would be different. I get you. I would even shove aside all the expectations that we had about the Rams coming into the season because we know that Rodgers and Tom Brady, for the most part, are equalizers. Tom Brady during the postseason, Aaron Rodgers during the regular season now. But in the end, Jimmy Garoppolo is the one that stops you. By the way, 3 weeks after spanking you in L.A. on this same home field, he outplayed you that day. He made more big plays than Matthew Stafford that day. It happens a second time with a conference championship on the line? Hell no. The Rams cannot lose this game. It is a Super Bowl appearance or bust. Maybe not a Super Bowl championship because you might be going against Patrick Mahomes. But it's definitely Super Bowl appearance.
No, that's not true. Stephen A., it doesn't matter who they're going against. Jared Goff got you that. This team was put together to win the Super Bowl, not to just get there. They're not there to just compete. They're not there to just participate. This team has to win it all because that's what Sean McVay said. Sean McVay goes to Les Snead and says, you know what? We need one more piece. And he goes out and gets Matthew Stafford. He gives up Jared Goff for him. He gives up picks for him. But then you get Odell Beckham Jr., which is a perfect replacement for Robert Woods.
I want to respond to you on that.
Now you have Cam Akers back. You have all of these pieces put together when you go get Von Miller to win now.
Hold on.
If you get to the championship,
hold on.
Let me come to you. You got it?
Sean McVay, offensive background, correct? What we really hold against them is that when he went to the Super Bowl, they scored 3 points. If Sean McVay goes to the Super Bowl, right, and Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp and the crew are balling, and they drop 35, But somehow, someway, Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and the crew can't stop Patrick Mahomes and the Cheetah and Travis Kelce and Pringle and those boys, right? And they score 40. I'm saying to you, I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, I ain't going to call that a bust. To me, the bust is when you don't live up to expectations. The expectations, I understand what they're going for, but the expectations for all of us watching is, oh, you can lose to a Patrick Mahomes. What you can't lose to is Jimmy Garoppolo. You can't lose that game. But you can lose to Patrick Mahomes now.
Aaron Rodgers just, Stephen A., Aaron Rodgers just lost to Jimmy Garoppolo.
No. Aaron Rodgers lost to the damn special team. That's who he lost to, and that defense. Jimmy Garoppolo had nothing to do with that.
He got excuses.
Jimmy Garoppolo, no, he was awful. Aaron Rodgers was awful. No excuse.
Now, Stephen A., I've been thinking about this a very long time. I've been pondering this weeks and weeks and weeks.
Oh, you said, oh, that's SNL. He's Chris Redd on SNL. That's what that is, Ryan Clark. That's what that is. He imitates SNL. Go ahead. I mean, weeks and weeks and weeks. Go ahead.
I've been pondering this. And you do make a good point, Stephen A. You do make a good point. If you lose to Jimmy G, that is a problem. A major problem, but if you beat Jimmy G and go to the Super Bowl, which I think they will, and even if you lose, that's why I'm saying it's not Super Bowl or bust. Even if you lose, you still have outperformed what Ryan Clark said, outperformed your former quarterback in Jared Goff. Jared Goff, yes, he was there and he got them there, but there are certain things, or RC, you know this just as well as anybody, there are certain things that Matthew Stafford can do at the quarterback position that Jared 100%. Goff can't, and that is
RC
what gives you
gets
hope.
The last word
that
here.
Is what gives you hope.
Yes, listen, it's not about hope, right? Hope ain't putting rings on fingers. It's not about hope. Everybody always feels that just because you get there, you'll get back. It's not promised. Aaron Rodgers has never been back. You have an opportunity to play the championship game in your stadium against a divisional opponent, which if you win that game, you have a chance to host the champion, to host the Super Bowl and win it. These opportunities don't come around often. You set this team up to win the 2021-2022 Super Bowl, and you are right on the cusp of it. You have to do it. If they do not win it, it is a failure.
Absolutely. And I'll wrap it up by saying this, RC, though, it's going to kind of be more of a home game for the Niners. Listen to this. According to a Vivid Seats algorithm, stay with me here, it's called Fan Forecast. It projects that there will be a 65-35 split at SoFi in favor of the Niners fans. So they are traveling and they are buying up those tickets. Yes, yes, yes. We'll keep it rolling here, guys. Joe Burrow and the Bengals got the best of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs already this season at Arrowhead. That one ended with a friendly exchange between Burrow and Mahomes, which ended with Mahomes saying, see you in the playoffs. Making good on his word, the Chiefs have found their stride since then. Here's Showtime on the task ahead.
We're trying to go out there and win the AFC Championship and then try to get to the Super Bowl. We understand that this is a great football team we're going up against. They've already beat us once this year. And if we don't give everything we have in preparation during the week, then we're not going to win at the end of the week. So I kind of turned the page quickly, and I'm ready to go. Just try to keep getting better every single day.
Sam Acho, how much should the Chiefs fear the Bengals?
They should have immense fear for the Bengals. They should have a ton of fear for the Bengals. They should fear them more than anybody else fears them because they have to play them. And, oh, by the way, they have to play the same team that beat them just a few weeks ago in Week 17 when it was all on the line. If we all remember, Kansas City was up big in that game. They were up 14 points on multiple occasions, not only in the first quarter but also in the second quarter going into halftime. And the Bengals didn't blink. Joe Burrow didn't blink. Ja'Marr Chase, not only did he not blink, he went for 11 catches and 266 yards. And so for me, there should be immense fear. Remember we talk about Cheetah. Remember we talk about that peace sign. There's another dude on the other side of the ball that could be throwing up that peace sign as well. That's Ja'Marr Chase. But it's not just him, and that's where the fear should come into place. You look at it, they got three receivers who are in the top 30 in receptions, Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. No other team in the NFL has that. They also have a running back in Joe Mixon who is third in rushes as far as rushing yards, and also he's third in touches out of all NFL players. They are a balanced attack offensively. That hasn't even mentioned the defensive weapons. And so, for all of those reasons, and obviously, Stephen A., you said what you said about Mahomes and LA and all those things. I actually think the Bengals are going to win this game. I think they're going to win this game just like they won the game in Week 17. Why? Because they have the offensive firepower to match Patrick Mahomes. They do not blink. Last thing, and then you can go ahead and say what you got to say because you've been pondering and thinking and considering for weeks and pontificating. I get it. The Kansas City Chiefs are the number one team in the NFL in yards after catch. That's number one. They are really explosive. You know who's also in the top five? Actually, number four? It's the Cincinnati Bengals. Weapons, 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 weapons. That's what you got to be concerned about.
Good, Aussie.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the analysis. I do believe many of those things about the Cincinnati Bengals, but I do disagree with the fact that that's enough to go to Kansas City and win. Because the Kansas City Chiefs also lost to Josh Allen and the Bills 38-20 early on in the season. The Josh Allen Bills had confidence walking into that game. Josh Allen played absolutely out of his mind, and they still lost. Patrick Mahomes, and I said this last week, Patrick Mahomes is who Aaron Rodgers would be if Aaron Rodgers actually elevated his play in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen, one of the most talented guys we've ever seen play the game. He's had epic regular seasons, but he's had better postseasons. He's had bigger moments in the playoffs. And we saw that same thing last week against Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Every opportunity that they needed or every chance he had to make a play where he had a chance to give a rebuttal, the answer was correct. He found the solution. And I think we see the same thing this week. Do I think it's going to be a competitive game? Absolutely. Do these teams match up very closely? Absolutely. I believe that Patrick Mahomes in these moments is a cut above. It took both tackles being out against Tom Brady. It took a depleted offensive roster being out against Tom Brady for Patrick Mahomes to not seed last year. Only two teams have beat him in the playoffs, and they were both quarterbacked by the GOAT. Joe Burrow, maybe in the future, but not today.
The Kansas City Chiefs should be scared to death. They really should.
Thank you.
For a couple of
reasons. And now you go and you side with Acho. What is wrong with you?
Let me explain.
Coming to your senses, Stephen A.
Let me explain, RC. That brother Joe Burrow, and it's hard for me because when I compliment dudes from LSU, I got to deal with you and swag. You know, and
it, hey, it just, know, I love my
and,
dog,
it just and it just and it just gets on, it just gets on my nerves to have to do that. But when you're right, you're right. Joe Burrow is the real deal. It's the real deal. I would remind everybody that last week, even though it was against Ryan Tannehill, who's another accident waiting to happen, I knew he'd blow it, going to throw a damn interception on the first play of the game, just completely quelling the momentum. People fresh out of their tailgate parties, and Ryan Tannehill already ruined their mood, you know, 3 seconds into the damn game. That's what compromised the Tennessee Titans, okay? That and Vrabel not running the football enough and giving it to Foreman more. But here's the reality. Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times and still beat him. And I know that when they played Kansas City earlier this season, Ryan Clark, he got sacked 4 times. And I expect Frank Clark and Chris Jones and those boys to get at him again with that offensive line the way that they looked last week. But he still threw for like 446 yards against them. That brother Jamar Chase, another LSU dude, okay? You know, because one of my favorite moments in all of television was when LSU was about to play Alabama for the national title. Not Alabama, sorry, Clemson. But LSU was going for the national title. And Ryan Clark was giving the motivational speech. And Swaggoo was sitting there. I mean, it's one of the great, great moments in television. I'm telling you, it was something to behold watching that on television. It was special. I saw this brother Jamar Chase, and I knew he was good. I didn't know this brother was on this level. He is spectacular. And he had 266 receiving yards. But here's the thing. He was targeted 12 times. He caught 11 passes. And then in the postgame, talked about the defenders going up against him, including number 35 for Kansas City. He was talking some smack. And Jamar Chase said, I had to give it to him. Okay? That's the kind of brother this cat, Jamar Chase, is. And the thing about Burrow, particularly I watching him last week, like the first 7 or 8 passes, I think it was against the Raiders, the first 7 or 8 passes he threw to Jamar Chase, he didn't even look for T. Higgins.
mixing on anybody else. I'm going here. And the reason why that's important, guys, is because, yeah, Patrick Mahomes could do that to a degree as well. Here's my point, guys. As a basketball guy, one of the things I love about basketball is that we all talk, because of football is so complicated, you know, you're talking about things schematically. Offense, defense, special teams, right. Everything is scheme. Basketball comes down at times to, this is what I'm going players. To do.
Yep,
here's who's going to do it, and there ain't a damn thing you could do about it. That's what I saw, and that's what I see when I watch Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. And there ain't a damn thing you could do about it. And when I look at Kansas City secondary and how they got shredded last week by Josh Allen, and I'm thinking about the potential of what Joe Burrow can do, I got Kansas City as well. But I think it's going to require Patrick Mahomes doing exactly what we saw him do. It's going to take that, because you're not stopping Cincinnati, not this defense, not this Kansas City defense. They ain't stopping Cincinnati. They should be scared to death, because Ja'Marr Chase is coming. T. Higgins said, I'll help out. And Joe Burrow said, yeah, I'm here, and ain't a damn thing you gonna do about it. I saw what Josh Allen did to you. Wait till you see what I unleash on you. That's what I'm waiting for.
Listen, guys, hey, I am with you, and it's okay to be high on Cincinnati, right? When you look at the things that they've done offensively, especially in the skill players, I actually do believe that skill player for skill player, starters on the field, top 11, I think that the skill players of the Cincinnati Bengals are better. I do. But when you think about Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, what they've been in the moment, right? These people have seen the moments that you've had to make huge plays in games like this. And even this team, when they had the MVP, fell to the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship.
Right.
This is a different level. And I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs are ready for that level just a little bit more than Cincinnati.
Yeah. I agree with you, too. Yeah. I agree with you, too. But we did see the Kansas City get shellacked in the Super Bowl, too. It's possible they could crumble. I don't think it's going to happen. But
If I could say one thing.
Real quick.
I was thinking about this earlier. I was thinking about this. The biggest benefit to the Cincinnati Bengals is that they don't know no better. Like, they don't know any better than just to go, like, Joe Burrow, I'm going to throw it to Ja'Marr Chase. He's up there somewhere, right? I might just be the baby GOAT, right? Talk about the GOAT. I might be the future GOAT. They don't know any better. And so they're coming in fearless. They're coming in reckless abandon. They're
nothing
coming in like, this is our team. This is our season. Nothing to lose, everything to gain. And so you don't have to overcomplicate it. Think basketball terms. Like Giannis in the championship, he was just going downhill. See if you can stop me. That's what Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are going to do.
For sure. I'll wrap it up by saying this. Kansas City favored by 7. And the Chiefs are hosting the conference championship now 4 straight seasons. That's the first time in NFL history. Obviously back at Arrowhead, so it must be nice to be a Chiefs season ticket holder. Let's go to the Cowboys, though. We all know, gentlemen, they botched the end of their playoff game. And don't worry, Stephen A. will continue to remind you all offseason. The team acted like they were unaware of the rule that the ref has to touch the ball. Sean Payton, who many think should be the next head coach of Dallas due to his history there and his coaching prowess, had this to say on how he would have handled the ending of that infamous play.
So then ask me the end of the Cowboys game, and let me see if I can do this better.
Okay. What did the Cowboys do wrong in this situation?
Well, look, they're trying to get in field. They're trying to get in touchdown range, and they ran a draw. We typically would throw a pass and down. Ultimately, I think two more steps for Dak. He's got to slide a little quicker. He's up. Ball has to go to the umpire. Then let's go. We can never hand the ball to the center.
Nice audition right there. Mike McCarthy has been told he will return as the head coach in 2022, first reported by USA Today Sports, confirmed by ESPN. Stephen A., is it a mistake to bring back Mike McCarthy?
You know, not for me.
Oh,
not for me. Not for me. It's not a mistake at all for me. I mean, it's perfect for me. It's not good for them. I mean, they had a chance, RC, not to be trolled for the next year. They had a chance. They had a chance for me not to bring up the black cat.
Who's going to troll them, Stephen A.? Who's going to troll them?
And say what?
Who's going to troll them?
You?
Oh, that would be me. That would be me. You see all those pictures I got? You see all those pictures I got? You see all that footage I got? Oh, I'm not holding on. Do you know these people actually sit, get at me's into my show, trying to come on Stephen A's World because they wanted to respond because I was trolling them?
Good. Did you let them?
I went like this. Hell no.
Why?
I'm gonna tell you why. I said if a picture. Wow. I said a picture's worth 1,000 words. Okay. Wow. And video's worth even more. All of this crying says it all. You don't get to wiggle your way out of that.
No.
You spoke enough. Okay.
Stephen A.
I'm good. Let me just say this. Hold on, Molly.
Okay.
Mike McCarthy. Listen, Mike McCarthy is clearly not the man long term. And Sean Payton wasn't fooling anybody. He let you know, I want to be the next Cowboy coach. As far as I'm concerned, that's what he was doing. He was letting you know, hey, I wouldn't have made that mistake, which we all know he would not have. And he was highlighting how flagrant of a mistake it was for the Cowboys to make the mistake that they made. So it wasn't just against Mike McCarthy. It was against Kellen Moore. But again, works for me. I have no problem with it whatsoever because it's just the fact that he's going to stick around means more mistakes are going to happen next year, and I'll have more for the archives to peel.
Before you guys jump in, can I just say one thing to Stephen A? That is so messed up. So, here on First Take, we always say anybody can come anytime, they have the invite, et cetera. Right? Like anytime you have comments about someone, you say, oh, we invite them on if they want to defend themselves. And then on your show, you're not going to allow them. Hold on.
That applies to people who are actual participants in the sports world, not for some weak fans that constantly
participants
crying over the Cowboys. I mean, you know, we're going to win the Super Bowl next year, right? Wow. And then crying because reality came in. And when
I'm
told you they wouldn't win a playoff game, that's on you. You shouldn't have bought those non-refundable tickets to SoFi because you lost money too.
All right. RC, get in here. I'm done with
it. Go ahead, guys. I mean, I love it.
You know what? You know, initially, when I heard that he was going to be there, I was like, that's a mistake, right? Because I didn't feel Mike McCarthy did a good enough job as the head coach of this team. And then when Sean Payton retired and he kind of hinted and intimated that, you know, with the right situation, I'll coach again. And then you hear Diana Rossini report that he always felt like the Saints didn't have enough juice. They didn't have enough cachet in the league when he needed them to have his back. And then all these pieces started coming together, and I said, oh, wait, if you hire a different coach other than Mike McCarthy and they do well or whatever it is, it's going to seem kind of fishy if you fire that coach after 1 year and then you hire Sean Payton. But if you give Mike McCarthy 3 years, if you allow Mike McCarthy to make a few more mistakes in clock management, make a few more mistakes in situational football, if the Cowboys, again, like they have for the last quarter century, don't win a Super Bowl, now you can give the Saints a little something and say, hey, Sean Payton, come be our next head coach. And Sean Payton seems like he's already auditioning or interviewing for the job. So it's as smart as hell now. Jerry, you sly old fox, I see what you're doing.
Hey, but RC, my only issue with that, and I love where you're going with that. My only issue is this. In New Orleans, Sean Payton had complete control, right? Yes, there was a GM in place, but Sean Payton had the final say on who was on the roster. I know because after an injury, I got a chance to try out for the Saints, and some people like me, but Sean Payton, for whatever reason, didn't sign me. So I know that he has the final say. In Dallas, Sean Payton will not have the final say, no matter how much Jerry Jones might say he will to get him there, no matter how much he might say, oh, it's your team and your roster and you're this and you're that. Jerry Jones will not give Sean Payton the final say. And maybe it doesn't matter as much to him. Maybe the cachet and the juice matters more because New Orleans didn't have that much juice, even though they were winning. I get it. It's not a huge brand like the Cowboys are. But if you want control of the roster, you want he doesn't care about the magnitude. I think he wants to win the games. And I think it's just tough in Dallas if you want that control. And you got Jerry Jones in the same building.
Absolutely. Much more on this in just a bit. Acho and RC will be back with us. But Stephen A and I wanted to quickly address something else. Why we have the time. Not quickly, but Stephen A, before we go to break, the comments made about our colleague Mina Kimes by former quarterback Jeff Garcia on social media. I know we both wanted to address that.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, listen, I'm just saying, so this video's playing. I'm sorry. This is the deal. You know, Jeff Garcia, former quarterback, couple of Pro Bowl appearances, couple of playoff victories in his career. obviously he spent his first 5 years with the San Francisco 49ers, so there's some level of sensitivity there, I guess. But what he said about Mina Kimes was just ridiculous and, quite frankly, sexist. I'm going to read to y'all what he said. He talked about Mina and basically said, who the hell is she? And when is the last time she threw a touchdown pass in a game? Never, ever has she taken a snap or can truly understand the ability, the mindset, the physical and mental toughness that it takes to play the quarterback position or any position in the NFL. The fact that there are people out there given a platform to talk about something that they have never done is hilarious, and that's how you have to look at her. I've never played football. There's plenty of men that are on television talking about sports that have never played football.
Big-time shows, you know, big-time talent.
You know, mm-hmm. Mike Wilbon, Tony Kornheiser, myself.
Mike Greenberg, Max Greenberg. Kellerman. I can go on and on.
The list goes on and on and on, but you're going to point the finger at her, who I believe does a sensational job, and I'm very proud to have her as a part of First Take, as I am you, as I am Kimberly Martin, as I am Monica McNutt, Chanel Gumake. The list goes on and on and on. We have women doing outstanding jobs in this business, and they deserve their credit, and they deserve their respect. But as it pertains to Garcia, let me be clear. Who the hell are you? Let me put this in its proper perspective. You are a former quarterback in the National Football League, and nobody gives a damn about what you have to say, other than the fact that you're attacking somebody who didn't deserve to be attacked. Mina Kimes pointed out how the San Francisco 49ers have not been winning because of Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm-hmm. Who's the one person that's been saying that for years?
You.
No one has said it more than me.
Yeah.
Porn star Jimmy is what I call him. Okay? He ain't winning because of him. You won because of Kittle. You won because of Deebo Samuel. You won because of Kyle Shanahan and his play calling. And you damn sure won because of that defense. He barely threw for over 200 yards in two playoff games before they got to the Super Bowl. We just saw him nearly give away the game against Green Bay. Oh, by the way, this is the same dude that when he was going against the Dallas Cowboys and threw an interception, Kyle Shanahan said, in order for us to win this game, damn it, just hand the ball off. Don't even throw the ball. Because that's how petrified they was. Anybody who knows a scintilla about football understands that while Jimmy G is no scrub, he ain't the reason the San Francisco 49ers are winning football games. It's primarily because of their defense, Deebo Samuels, their running game, and Kyle Shanahan's greatness. She wasn't off kilter. And the fact that you would choose to call her out like that is just incredibly disrespectful. It's sexist. I'll give you credit for this, though, Jeff Garcia. It's the one thing that you said that has garnered anything newsworthy, because nobody gives a damn about what you have to say because you wasn't that great any damn way. And I don't see you saying anything about the likes of T.O. when he came at you and others because you were relatively pedestrian. You're not even missed. So that's what I wanted to say about him. I got more to say, but I won't. I won't. I'll wait to see whether or not I want to in the future.
Yeah, let me say this. So I worked with Jeff Garcia at NFL Network, so this is extremely disappointing to see on a show with him. NFL AM at the time. I hope he retracts these statements and comes out with an apology. The second thing I want to say is I admire Mina Kimes so much, and I have sat on this set with Super Bowl champions and watched them ask Mina her opinion and want to know Mina's thoughts on the play, Mina's thoughts on the game. Mina is a pioneer. I also, as you are, I'm friends with everyone on NFL Live, and I know part of the reason that show is doing so well is because that team respects each other, and they respect each other's opinions, including Mina. So it's just extremely disappointing. And then there should be no sports media, like you said, Stephen A. If you have to throw a pass, then there's quite a few men, high-paid men, that should never be talking about sports. And I'll end this just by saying, we're not going anywhere.
Thank you.
Women are not going anywhere, okay? We're going to have a seat at the table in all respective industries, so get used to it. Because we're going to continue to come and continue to come.
And I appreciate that.
It's an honor. It's an honor to work with Mina Kimes is Yale. Yeah. She's brilliant. She watches the games multiple times.
Listen, anybody be around Be around Mina for a couple of minutes, and anybody knows that about her.
And she's cool.
So anybody knows about it, and she's very cool, too. But the point is, everybody knows that about her. You know, he's got the problem here. But I'll tell you something else, too. He's actually hurt athletes. And let me tell you why. It's because of comments like Jeff Garcia made
that you need people like me and others who didn't play the sport. Because the reality is that, according to his statement, if you didn't play, if you didn't take a snap, if you didn't play that position, you're not qualified to commentate on such matters. Okay? So even though he was sexist in his comments and he needs to be called out for that, the bottom line is also, he's basically saying, if you didn't play, you shouldn't be able to talk about it. But look at your lack of objectivity when it comes to Jimmy G. When anybody who knows watching him knows he's been relatively pedestrian. The fact that you can't be straight up about that shows you need to shut the hell up, sit back and root for the 49ers. Get your pom-poms, go to the SoFi, do that. But outside of that, you need to shut up, period.
Yeah, and again, I'll just say my dealings with Jeff Garcia, he was always respectful. I think he's better than this, and I hope he comes out with an apology. And thank you, Stephen A., obviously, for always defending women as well, because you always do and continue to. And Mina's the best. We'll have her on the show soon.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
LeBron James and Kevin Durant again will be the captains of the two teams in this year's All-Star Game to be held February 20th in Cleveland. James, who has now been captain five straight seasons since the NBA has used the system to pick its teams, and Durant is captain for a second straight year, earning the honor by finishing with more fan votes than anyone in their respective conferences. Props to him. James has now made 18 All-Star teams, tying Kobe Bryant for second place all-time. Joining LeBron as the starters out west, Steph Curry, Ja Morant, along with the Joker and Andrew Wiggins from the East, KD, joined by DeMar DeRozan, Trae Young, Joel Embiid, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. KD unlikely to play while nursing from a knee injury. Here he is, my guy, Big Perk. I like it. The whole thing that's happening there, Perk. Ready
Appreciate
for Friday.
It, Molly. What's going on?
Ready
what's going
for on, Friday. Stephen
A? What's up, big boy? What's going on, man?
You look up when you see me on the TV.
I'm looking at now. I was actually
Perk, I do
ask
the same
about
thing.
Chain.
I always need eye contact.
Chain, you know what I'm saying? I kind of like that.
I love the chain.
Appreciate Not it. As much as I like the Santa Claus, the Santa Perk outfit, but I like that.
That was special. Monica McNutt and I did enjoy story time that day.
That was hilarious.
How good
almost,
was that?
I mean, I had bad lungs. Y'all almost choked me up. I was laughing so hard.
That was so funny. Stephen A., do you have a problem with the starters?
I don't want to say a problem. I disagree.
Okay.
And I couldn't wait to tell you what I did, Perk, because obviously you know I got to vote. And I want to emphasize that I voted, you know, a couple weeks ago. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't today. You know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure everybody know that, all right? Let me go to the Western Conference first. Mm. Once upon a time, I said I'd give Andrew Wiggins away for a bag of cookies. I don't feel that way now. I'm very proud of what that brother has done. I'm happy for him that he was an all-star, that he's an all-star starter. But for me, I said Rudy Gobert. Because Rudy Gobert, 15 rebounds, more than 2 blocks per game, his defensive prowess and presence, and obviously the success of the Utah Jazz this year as well. Rudy Gobert is a defensive force, and I don't like how the bigs get ignored, which I'm sure you appreciate from me, okay? In the Eastern Conference is where I didn't pick Trae Young as a starter. I know he's an all-star, but I didn't pick him as a starter. I had to go Darius Garland.
Ooh.
I'm looking at this brother. Now, remember, Perk, I wanted the Knicks to draft him.
Yeah.
I wanted them to draft him. I said, you need a point guard. And I wanted them to draft Halliburton after they passed on him. But I'm just telling you, Garland's real. Now, he averaging 19 points, shoot 36% for 3-point range. Forget all that, because I know Trey averaging 27 or whatever. Now, Atlanta has won 5 straight today. They were 17-25. Mm-hmm. Trae Young only missed about 3 games this year. You've been there while this team is struggling. And I want Trae, because I love Trae Young. But I want Trae Young to understand, you the point guard, bro. You the star of that franchise. That roller coaster that y'all were on, it ain't just about your numbers. You got a responsibility to lead, young brother, because you the point guard. You ain't some forward that's center relying on somebody else. You running that team. And so because you running that team the way Atlanta was looking, I juxtaposed that, KP, to Darius Garland. The brother got handled. The brother could shoot. The brother could get to the basket. He can pass. He's averaging 19 a game, 45-46% shooting. And I'm looking at Cleveland, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not picking up. It's Milwaukee, it's Brooklyn. I get it. The Cleveland Cavaliers could come out of the East. They're that good. And that young, let me end it by saying this to you, KP. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Right now, this young Cleveland Cavaliers team, coached by Bickerstaff, who's doing an outstanding job, Coach of the Year candidate. If LeBron James was on that squad, they could win it all right now. That's how good Cleveland has been. If LeBron James was on there, they could win it right now. And Wilbon, who I thought was off his rocker, actually gave me cause to pause because he said LeBron might think about going back to Cleveland. I wouldn't blame him based on how they looked. Look right now. Floor's yours.
I'm telling you, I was watching them the other night, and it wasn't one empty seat in the stands. And they're fun to watch. Real quick, Stephen A., they have the best defensive tandem in the league when it comes to playing two bigs and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I had to say about the Cavs. Now, here's the thing. I also got an opportunity for the first time to vote for the All-Star All-Star.
Sure. Starters. Go ahead.
And so here's the thing. I didn't have Trae Young there. And the reason I didn't have him there is because, yes, they are on a 5-game winning streak, but I had Zach LaVine. I thought that Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan both deserve, especially where the Bulls are right now, I thought that they both deserve to be starters. Again, Listen, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that I need to address when it comes to the All-Star game and picking All-Stars, all right?
Okay.
First of all, we need to understand that the starters are basically the fans, right? Majority of the starters are, I mean, the percentages goes to the fans. They want to see excitement. They want to see guys that put up numbers and that's going to entertain them.
Okay.
And a lot of people are mad right now because they're saying, how is the Phoenix Suns the number one team and they don't have one NBA All-Star starter in the game? Because what you don't realize is this. Who are you taking out? You definitely are not taking out Ja Morant, and you damn sure ain't taking out Steph Curry. Now, they're still going to get in just as reserves. But here's the thing about the NBA All-Star game overall, right? I believe that when you're picking NBA All-Stars, whether it's reserves or starters, you have to not only have to put up numbers, but you have to win. And I think that's why the reserves be so tricky, because you know who vote for the reserves? The coaches. But I will say this, and last thing, I'm so proud of Andrew Wiggins. You know why? Because the first time in his career, he didn't have to be held accountable of being the number one pick. And then all of a sudden, you saw him play free basketball. He was free, becoming one of the best two-way players in the game today. I'm so happy that he finally got his just due, because he has taken so much criticism over, since the time he got drafted, that I told everybody when he got drafted to the Golden State Warriors, I said, listen, this is going to be life-changing for him.
And Perk, we got to go.
Yeah,
one other reason
it.
He needs to be applauded. Andrew Wiggins also was hesitant about taking the vaccine. He's a Jehovah's Witness, from what I'm told.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And took it because my team needs me.
Yeah, challenging decision, especially with the religious factor. Big Perk, we'll check you out on NBA Today later with my girl Malika Andrews and Chinee Ogumike. Come back, visit us again soon.
All right, man.
We'll talk soon. Coming up, Carmelo Anthony was not having it in Philly. We'll get into that in just a bit.